Acts chapter 8. Want to remind again, we've got an activity with the youth group tonight, as well as families that want to stay, and the Soulmates group that'll be in the multi-purpose building. We're going to eat together, I think play some games together. So hope that you can stick around for that. Actually, turn if you can. So something kind of neat happened this morning that I just wanted to mention for just a second. So if you'll remember, I mean, it's a holiday weekend, so there's a number of people that are out of town. And so we had some people that maybe weren't here who were scheduled to do some of the different roles in service. And I just want to point something out. When no one came up for the Lord's Supper, now what could have been this awkward moment, and maybe you did feel awkward in it, I thought was actually something really cool and neat that I wanted to point out. Where I'm sitting, it's usually in that front corner over there. I was able to see it, and I was kind of turning to see if somebody was going to get up to leave. And before I could even stand up, you know, John Shavers stands up and comes up and serves at the Lord's table. But he wasn't the only one. I don't know if you saw it. It was like hedgehogs. It was like a bunch of people popping up at the same time. There was at least seven or eight people that all popped up when they all realized at the same time that, hey, somebody needs to get up and do this. Somebody needs to get up and serve. And I loved that. I thought that was really neat to see different men who were willing to serve. And I think that willingness to serve, man, that's important. It's crucial. It's critical to have a willingness to serve. Most times, I think, sometimes, not all the times, our willingness to do something, maybe even to serve sometimes, can be directly connected or related to what we get out of it. But our willingness to serve needs to come from a place where, hey, I'm going to do this thing because this is the thing that needs to be done. And I think that's part of what we saw this morning, which was really neat to see. Tonight, I want to challenge us to have a willingness to serve, a willingness to do things that Jesus needs us to do, wants us to do, that the church needs us to do. Now, there's been times where I have not always had that willingness. And I can think of multiple examples where my willingness to do something was directly related to what I would get out of it. I remember this one time in college where I had this huge paper that was due for a Bible class. And you would think I would have been working on this for weeks and months, you know, because that's how long I'd known about this paper being due, but I hadn't. And so I knew what I was going to talk about, and I waited until the day before to work on this paper. And so I had my whole schedule. I had it. My procrastination was very planned out. I had the whole day before the paper being due mapped out. I was going to go to the library and just be in the library all day long working on this paper. So I got up that morning and I go and I get in my car and I start to drive over to the library. And all I'm thinking about is, man, I got to get this paper done. Like, this is, I've got to get this done. I'm so behind. I'm kind of panicking a little bit, but I'm like, okay, I've got to get this paper done. And so I'm driving across campus, and it had rained the day before. And at Harding's campus, at least when I was there, there would be puddles everywhere when it rained. It's like they had a drainage problem or something. So there's puddles all over the place. So I'm driving across campus, and because I'm so late and I've got to do this paper, I'm cutting across campus. And there's these two buildings that you can drive through to get across the campus from the dorm that I lived in. So I'm driving through between these buildings, and I guess it's time for classes to change, and there are some people walking out. And I see this one girl, and she's walking to the business building, and she's dressed very nicely. And she looks like she has some kind of presentation material in her hands. And I'm driving towards her direction, and she's walking the other way. And we make eye contact, and it's a big enough school to where you don't necessarily know everyone, but most people you kind of recognize. I call them recognition friends. Like, I know who this girl was, and I think she knew who I was. And as I'm driving, we see each other, and we make eye contact. And as I'm driving, I'm going a little fast because I'm in a hurry to get to the library. And I hit her with my car. I'm just kidding. I didn't hit her with my car. I'm just kidding. And I'm driving and I hit this puddle. And it splashes up and it hits this girl with water. And I'm a terrible person. And She gets wet. And I don't think she was soaking wet, or at least in my mind, I'm telling myself that now looking back, you know, 10 or 12 years. But I got her. I got her wet. And I would love to say that even in the busyness of that day and how much work I had to do, that I pulled over and that I helped clean her off. And maybe I even offered to drive her back to her dorm that she could change. But no, I just kept driving. And I have this like image burned into my mind of looking up into my rearview mirror and seeing her just staring at me with her hands like this, just shaking her head like, what have you done? And I just kept driving, and I felt horrible, but I had a Bible paper to do. So of course I just kept driving. And that was definitely one of those times where I was not willing to help. I was not thinking of other people. All I was thinking about was myself. And I made all kinds of excuses why I couldn't have helped this person out. I mean, I had this paper to get done, even though it was my own fault that I'd put it off for so long. I was busy. Maybe she was walking too close to the puddles of water. Come on, don't walk so close to the water puddles. And so I was making all these excuses in my mind as I'm driving away. But really, what I should have done was not think so much of myself, but think of this other person in that situation. Instead of focusing on my own needs, because I was focusing on my own needs, I was willing to overlook the needs of someone else. And as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we need to be willing to put other people's needs before our own. Maybe a specific person's needs sometimes we need to put before our own and find ways to serve others. And so tonight I want to look at someone that really did a great job of being willing to serve, willing to do whatever God needed them to do, whatever God asked of him to do. And his name is Philip. And Philip is one of these characters that I love from Scripture because we don't know a lot about him, but what we do find out I think is pretty cool because it's these little bits and pieces. He's never the main character in the story for the most part, but he does these really neat things. And the first time we're introduced to him is in Acts chapter 6, when the church, the elders, they needed some people to handle one of these jobs. And so they delegated this important job of feeding the widows to these men. And Philip is mentioned as one of the men that volunteered and was willing to serve in this area. And then over in Acts chapter 8, we run into Philip again. And Philip in Acts chapter 8 is in Samaria. And he's doing these amazing things. He's healing people. He's performing miracles. He's casting out demons. And he's preaching about the good news of Jesus Christ. And tons of people are responding to the message of Jesus. Thousands of people are coming to know Jesus Christ. And it's an awesome thing. I mean, it's got to be one of Philip's highlights of his life, is that time when he was in Samaria. And so he's in Samaria, and in the midst of this amazing thing that he is a part of, God calls him away. You remember where he's called to? So he's in Samaria and he's speaking and preaching to all of these people and leading all these people to know Jesus. And then God calls him away. And instead of going somewhere where there's more people, instead of going somewhere where there's, you know, maybe just as many people or an important group of people, God calls him away to serve one person. He's called away to serve one person. Look at Acts chapter 8. We're going to read this. I know you might be familiar with the story. There's two instances with Philip that I want to read to you. And this one's a little bit lengthier. It's Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 40. It says this. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in the chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet." Okay, stop there for a second. So I don't know how this is happening. It doesn't seem like the chariot. Some people think that the chariot is stationary and it's still, and Philip runs up to it. Some people, this is interesting to me, think that the chariot is moving and Philip comes running up alongside of the chariot, which I don't know how that's possible. But just it's a very interesting visual image of in the desert, there's probably no one around. And yet here is this man who's reading from the prophet Isaiah. And all of a sudden, it's got to be surprising. Philip shows up just out of nowhere. It's like, "Hello." And listen to what he says. He says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. It sounds like, in some sense, an evangelistic dream come true for Philip, right? That this man's like, "Hey, come explain this to me." This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself or someone else?" And then Philip takes this as an opportunity. It says, Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" It's an evangelistic dream come true. It's amazing. Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." The eunuch answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," and he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Okay, so an interesting thing here, right? So Philip is in Samaria having an impact on thousands of people, and God pulls him away to minister to one person. How would you feel if you were Philip in that scenario? I mean, in the scenario that Philip was in before, like, sign me up for that, performing miracles and preaching to, you know, hundreds, thousands of people who are coming to know Jesus. I mean, that is a success story. That's a highlight story. That's an amazing accomplishment to be a part of something like that. And then Philip gets taken away from that, and he goes to one person. And you could almost imagine if someone might be a little disappointed that they were taken away from this amazing, huge, you know, glorious accomplishment to go and speak to one person about Jesus. But the amazing thing about Philip is it seems like Philip is extremely willing to do this. Philip is very willing to go wherever God calls him to go. God wants him to go to hundreds, to 1,000 people, to whatever that number might be. Philip is willing. If God wants him to go to one person, Philip is willing to do that as well. God had Philip leave all those people so that he could lead one man to Christ. And I think it took courage for Philip to go to Samaria. Of course, it took courage for him to go there. But I think it took even more courage for him to leave. And by anyone's standards, Philip was a success in Samaria. He'd accomplished more than in a few weeks than probably most people could have dreamed of doing. But Philip wasn't just interested in maybe people's standards of success. Philip was willing to leave the crowd, to leave this huge thing that was happening, to go and to minister to one. One of my questions that I want for you to think about tonight is, who is one person that you need to be willing to serve? Maybe that's something that we need to be thinking about. Is not like, oh, how many people? Let me think of these huge crowds that I can have an impact, or this huge group of people. You know, I'm going to go to my work and minister to everyone there. I'm going to go to my school and I'm going to share my faith with everyone, everybody. Those are great things to think about doing. But maybe what we should be willing to do is to serve and be willing to go to that one person who needs us. What would it look like to leave the crowd and pursue one person in your world? Who would that one person be that maybe you need to be willing to serve? After this happens in Acts chapter 8, we don't really hear about Philip for a long time. It's about 13 chapters or so. And we get a mention of him again in Acts chapter 21. Go to Acts chapter 21. This is the last time he's mentioned in Acts. And in Acts chapter 21, so it's been about 13 chapters, but it's also been a number of years. It's been maybe about 20 years or so that's taken place over the course of all these chapters where we haven't heard what's been going on with Philip. So what has Philip been up to? Well, in Acts chapter 21, starting in verse 7 and 9, here's what it says. "We continued our voyage from Tyre and landed at Ptolemais. where we greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip. There's our buddy Philip. The house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. So that's all we get. And this is the last that is mentioned of Philip here in Acts. And what I would wonder is, what would you think Philip would have been doing in the past 20 years? We don't really know all the specifics. But you might think, well, maybe Philip was leading a gigantic church. Maybe he continued to travel and proclaim the forgiveness that was available through Jesus' death on the cross. Or maybe this is what Philip did. Maybe Philip got married, and maybe he raised a family full of children who loved God, and his children sought to obey God. Now, the truth is, we have no idea what all Philip was doing. All we know about Philip's life during those 20 years is that he had four daughters and that they were followers of Jesus. And you might think, like, it's a little anticlimactic. Like, I would have expected Philip to do more, especially after that great moment he had in Samaria. And then he got pulled away in this amazing moment to this Ethiopian eunuch. And then he disappears again and maybe preaches for a little while. You'd almost expect for something more to have happened with Philip. But did he just go and he raised a family and that's it? You'd almost expect that someone whose ministry started off in such a high-profile way would continue to be in the limelight. But God had other plans for Philip, it seems. And as always, Philip was willing to do whatever God had planned for him. And this time, what Philip was willing to do is he was willing to stay. And maybe instead of reaching thousands, Philip reached a few. Instead of performing miracles, maybe he performed routine tasks. And to Philip, his willingness to serve ended up, it seems like, becoming his family. He served his family, and his family became his priority, and God blessed him for it by giving him children who loved and honored the Lord. And so when it comes to our willingness to serve, I think it starts with our willingness, I think especially as men, to serve our families, to serve and to make sure that our children love the Lord. Yes, like, there is glory in our willingness to serve and to have thousands of people impacted. I think there's even glory in our willingness to serve and one person, you know, us having an impact on one person, them coming to know God. But I think there's maybe even more to say for our willingness to serve in our families and to have an impact on our children so that they can come to know Jesus and have a relationship with him. One more verse to look at together, Mark chapter 10. Flip over to Mark chapter 10 for just a second. Mark chapter 10, we get the disciples, they're having this argument, and they're arguing about who is the greatest. And we see in verse 41, the 10 heard about this argument that's happening, and they became indignant with James and John. And Jesus calls them together, and this has to be a humbling moment for the apostles. And he says this, he says, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." And then listen to verse 45, and you're probably familiar with this verse, but it's a pretty amazing one. It says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Here you have Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Messiah. And when he came, his followers, the people of Israel, thought that the Messiah was going to come and be this king that everyone was going to bow down and worship, and he was going to lead this great army, and they were going to take over the world together. But instead, what God did when he came to earth, he didn't lord it over other people. He didn't come, he says, to be served by others. He came to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. As followers of Jesus, as people who want to live a life like him, it's not a life that maybe gives us a lot of glory or attention. It's not a life where maybe we're served by other people, but a life of following Jesus is a life where, like Jesus, we are willing to serve. And sometimes that willingness to serve maybe comes when, you know, we're filling in for someone that's not available to step up and lead. Maybe that willingness to serve comes and it is this glorious thing where many people are affected and impacted by your service. Maybe the willingness to serve comes from you going to one person who's in need, who needs encouragement. Maybe it's one person who needs to know something about Jesus. They need to hear a message of forgiveness and hope because they are missing that in their lives. And maybe your willingness to serve is finding a way to serve your family so that your children know who the Lord is. As followers of Jesus, we need to have a willingness to serve. And my prayer and hope for you guys tonight that are here is that you will be willing to serve in whatever way that you are needed, whatever way God calls you to serve. Just like Philip, who was called off to serve in all these different places, that we are willing to serve wherever God needs us to be. Maybe that's in your homes. Maybe that's at your work. Maybe that's here at this church, in this community. We need to find ways to serve. Tonight, maybe you're here. Maybe you need to be willing to do something else. Maybe it's you need to be willing to come forward tonight. Maybe you need to be willing to humble yourself and ask for prayers and encouragement. Maybe for forgiveness. Maybe you need to be willing to lay down your life and take on the life that's found in Jesus Christ by becoming a Christian and having your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ in baptism. If you're willing to do that tonight, won't you come now as together we stand and sing?
I am resolved.